For to us, God revealed them, pay attention, talking about balance, through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. If you're reading in the King James, it says the deep things of God. Well, if you want to know what's really in the mind of God, you need to have the Spirit. For who among people know the thoughts of a person except the Spirit of the person that is in him? Now, I want to know, have you ever gotten into trouble because you thought that your wife was thinking this? I got one hand back there already. But she wasn't. Why, she was thinking something else. And she had that expression on her face when she says, I'm going to kill you. But she wasn't thinking about you. She's thinking about the dog, or she's thinking about something else, or whatever. Have you ever been mistaken about that? Shake your head yes, because you have. Yeah, we've all been guilty of trying to determine what somebody else is thinking. Or, possibly, if we're a teenager, we're probably worried about what I'm wearing, because what will everybody say? What will they be thinking about me? So also the thoughts of God knows no one. Nobody knows what God is thinking except what, brethren? The Spirit of God. Listen up now. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Are you reading this? Are you letting that sink in? So that we may know the things freely God to us, or have been given to us by God. So we may know what God has given us. Do you know it? Are you sure of it? You know, when we preach sermons that, are you sure you know about your salvation? We talked about this morning in our Bible class about when people ask you questions and they want to know something about God. Why do you believe that? And we were told by Peter, that's where we were studying over there, that we're supposed to separate our thought, get God in our thoughts, and be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks of me of the reason of hope that is in me. I guess another good question, Ricky, might be, does anybody see any hope in you? Are they seeing the hope of God in you? We speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom. Remember, that's why I backed up and read that. Paul said, I didn't come with the right words or the excellency of speech, so to say, but I came with you declaring nothing more than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Not in words that are taught by human wisdom, but in those that are taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But, now my professor, Barry, always told me whenever somebody says but, he's getting ready to butt what he just said out the door. He's reminding you of something. But a natural person. Now, what do you suppose he means by the natural person? You might want to try to figure that out. But he's talking about anyone who does not have the Spirit of God. He's talking about those who are outside in the world and not inside of the spiritual realm. A natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. You believe some guy lived and he died on a cross and he lives again? That's right. We do. Now that may not seem like, well, that's not too tough for us. Well, maybe it isn't for you. And let me tell you that when you don't have the Spirit of God, when you're not looking on the spiritual side of things or looking for the answer of balance in a life that is not going the way you hoped it had or would, excuse me, they seem like foolishness. That everything can be straightened out by believing on a guy who lived a couple of thousand years ago. From an entity that people say, well, I can't see him. Well, if they just read the word, they'll find out that he's evident everywhere, right? His handiwork is in the heavens. Every day we see it. And when you know God, when you have the Spirit of God in you, and I hope you're getting this, because to have balance in life, you must be in the Spirit of God. You must have the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to Him. He doesn't understand them because they are spiritually, here's a big word that we don't use, discerned. Now from the Greek, that word, I know it's not even important to you, is it? Let me just tell you that it means that you are to be someone who examines things. That you look into what's happening. From this reading, here's what I want you to get, first of all, just as a basic of living the balanced kind of life, a spiritual life. In fact, I entitled this lesson, Personal Spirituality. Maybe you want to say just individual spirituality. All of us have a spirit that is of God if you're in Christ. And then we are required to exercise our faith in developing that. And that's what I want you to see, that spirituality is a real quality. It is a God-given, we just read it, interpreting power given those who are of the Spirit. Remember when we read, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for him that love him. And yet God hath revealed them unto us. Now I know that you have questions about all kinds of things, but probably the majority of your questions come from the areas by which that maybe we haven't even been told about. You know, how was God in the beginning? What really did happen back there? What was it like in the garden? You know, what was it like for the patriarchs? There's not many of us that would like to live in a tent forever, right? But that's what they were, nomad dwellers in tents who went everywhere seeking God. So, in a review of what we read, go on to the next slide, Lena. Thank you. Just as it is written, the things that eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, which have not entered the human heart, all that God has prepared for those who love Him, for to us, or unto us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things, or the depths, if you will, of God. For who among the people knows the thoughts of a person except the spirit of the person that is in him? And so also the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. And we have not the spirit of the world, but we have the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Did you get that? Freely given to us by God. God has told us about Him. That's why faith is so important, because you see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing is of the Word of God. So we can know about Him. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural person does not accept these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually understood or discerned. So we speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those that are taught by the Spirit. That's what he's doing for us. And we can understand them because of who he is. Spirituality, you see, is a real quality. I don't remember who made this quote, so I can't give them proper credit. But I have it written down. I wasn't smart enough to write down who said it. But the person said, "I'm worried about all of the things I don't understand in the Bible." And someone responded by saying, "What worries me are the parts of the Bible I do understand." Think about it a minute. "For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is" what? Bible verse, James 4, verse 17. "To him it is sin." Should we assume that all people who are Christians are going to be deeply spiritual? Don't we all realize that we meet other people in Christ and that we see in them a great faith, and we say, "I hope when I get to that spot in my life that I will be that kind of person"? You probably have someone in your life that was a spiritual mentor, or let's say a hero, if you will, if you don't mind. I'm not talking about wearing capes or any of that kind of stuff. I'm just talking about someone that you look toward that you knew would always be give you a spiritual response, and you wanted to get there. But you see, if it were true that everybody was deeply spiritual, then why do we have what we would call prodigals? You know, people who are away, people who drift away, people who lose contact with that first excitement about responding. I want you to be getting from this whole thing, this one point, that spirituality is a quality that I have as a person, and that I have the ability to develop it to become more spiritual, to become more like God, to become less foolish in the thinking of the world or the people around us, and elevate the thinking to those who serve him in the kingdom. That's what we should be looking for. You remember Jesus said, "Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but rather who? He or the one who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven, will enter into the kingdom that way." It's a matter of being a doer. It's a matter of being one who responds to what the will of God is. And how does that happen? That happens when we learn how to discern what the Lord wants, which simply means to examine things. Remember those people down there in Berea, over in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11? He said they were more noble than all of those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. You see, the key was, is they began to realize early on, that's what made them noble, where spiritual growth and nourishment came. I took, it might be hard to understand, I did go to college. And so I know it doesn't show, but I took a lot of communication courses, by the way. That was one of my sub-majors. I call that a minor now. In my day, they called it a sub-major. I don't know what that meant. I don't know what a substitute is. Never mind. We won't even go there. But one of the things I learned in that course is that not everybody is on the same level when it comes to communication. You all experience that when you get sent to the store, go get this, go get that, and you come home and you say, I got it. And they said, that's not what I wanted. That's never happened to our house because Rosemary's always very communicative. You know, she can get it out. We've all been there, huh? When we misunderstood, we didn't really get the thing. And it's easy for us. Remember what we talked about? I'm reminding you again, we talked about the concept of love and law. How do we balance that? And that's because we have a tendency to lean one way or lean the other. We want to justify what is happening. And when you begin to make an application of the law, you can sometimes maybe jump off in the wrong place because you want to see the law be completed. And I want you to know that I believe in the importance of the law. But one of the things that Jesus teaches us is he taught us that the keeping of the spirit of the law was really more important than the letter of the law. Let me illustrate. Over in John chapter 8, there's a story about a woman. Remember, she was caught in adultery. And they brought that woman to Jesus. And they told her of the situation, that they caught her in adultery. In fact, in the very act. So he said, they say to him, what should we do? Now, they're well trained in the law. They know what the law says. In fact, their motivation has nothing to do with what it should have to do with, and that is that the woman could be saved. I didn't even get an amen on that. You see, the great thing about what Jesus does for us is he brings us salvation and redemption. He's full of grace as well as truth. So they want to know what should they do. Probably more people make something out of the fact that Jesus wrote in the... Everybody wants to know what he wrote in the dirt. I could care less. Whatever he said, when he spoke, he said, okay, what does the law say? He said, well, the law says, stone her. And Jesus said, okay, you who is without sin, do what? Cast the first rock, baby. It's up to you. Go get you one. And they all, with one accord, from the least to the greatest, they all went away. Nobody wanted to throw the first rock. How come? Why? Because you see, they'd been in the same position. They had been in violation of the law before, and they knew how easily that could have been them. So, whatever you think of the conclusion, Jesus turns to the woman and says, where has thine accusers gone? Where are they? And she says, Lord, they've all left. And you know his famous response. Well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, if we were in Bible class, I'd say, is she going to go and sin no more? No. Because she's a human. She's going to sin again. But he's simply saying, you're free from this right here. Because there's no one here, because the law says, wherever there's two or three gathered, well, then they can pass the law on them. But it's not happened, because Jesus is teaching that the Spirit of the law was designed to save people from being in sin. And now Jesus is practicing the forgiveness of sins. That's the idea. Well, because you see, often we are taught, or we think, we conclude from what the preacher is saying and reading it from the scripture, they may be thinking that the letter of the law is more important than its spirit. And that's why we struggle in our lives when we have sin in our lives. Ha 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 ha. I'm saying that because we have sin in our lives. What are we going to do about it? I'm not worthy of salvation by myself. Only in Jesus am I worthy of salvation. And it winds up, you see, very often conjuring up sort of a spirit that's a bargaining kind of spirit. So I say, what's in it for me, Lord? That's exactly what took place in Matthew 27 through 30. Peter responded and he said to the Lord, "We have left everything and followed you. What then will be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the generation or regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left house, brothers, sisters, father, mother, children, farms, on account of my name, will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life." And then he says, "But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first." Now, I don't have time to preach you that sermon this morning. We'll talk about it in another one later on. Balance. Balance in life. Don't forget the spirit of God's law. God gave the law to show us what was wrong. When Paul talks about it in the book of Romans, he says literally the law was given so that sin may abound. And then he compares it to the grace that's in Jesus that says that sin was here, but God's grace is here in Jesus, and it abounds. And then he says, "Shall we continue in sin so grace may even abound more? God forbid, how can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried by baptism into death. And just like he was raised from the dead by the Spirit of the Father, so also are we raised to walk in a newness of life." I think I may have missed a line or two in there, but that's basically Romans 6, 1 through 6 or so. That's the idea. I want you to see today or this morning that personal spirituality plays a major role in your balance in life. And the greater knowledge you have of God's thoughts, the greater effort that you expend to know what God is thinking and what His will is, the greater my spirituality grows and expands and does more for those around me as well as for me. I'm going to call it quits right there. Well, I don't mean I'm quitting. I'll be back next week, Lord willing. But I want to just say to you, well, that's another good scripture too, that You need to find yourself in the message of God. Realize who you are. People in the world will think you're foolish, but be ready to give them an answer of the hope they're seeing in you. 1 Peter 3:15. And even if they make fun of you or laugh at you, just remember, they don't get it. They don't understand the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in them like you do. So you continue to live by what God has asked you to do. To be kind and to be gentle and to be loving and to be receptive. And don't run people out the door because they didn't obey the law the way you wanted them to do. Bring them in so the spirit of the law can be served by the Spirit of God. If you're not in Christ today, you sure need to be. That's where spiritual quality comes from. And I hope you can build for your life. Balance keeps you going. I used to be a surfer. I don't know if you knew that or not. I know exactly what the ocean looks like on the bottom of the floor, I can tell you, from my surfing days. But you need balance. And that's on the basis of the Spirit of God, as well as the law of God, bringing them into harmony. Aren't you glad Jesus came and died for you? If you're not in Him, you need to be in Him today.